Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. In our advanced program today, we're on the final day of our article on chilling out in Iceland, so we're glad you can join us.
All right, welcome everybody to our third day. This travel article, we're up there in Iceland, and it's a different destination. Hopefully some of our listeners will consider going there.
Thanks, Bill. And Amanda, what do you think about this article? We've done it 2 days now. Are you interested in finishing it up today?
I am. I'm interested in finishing up and learning more. I also loved yesterday how we learned about these hot pots and being able to soak in these pools. I think I want to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about you? Have we talked you into this, Lois?
Oh, you know me, Doris. I'm always ready to go. I'm ready to go to see this part of the world for sure. I can't believe I didn't go with my husband when he's been there, so I'll have to take him up on it sometime.
In case you forget, now Lois's husband is a pilot and he flies planes, and that's why he gets to go to all these places. But sometimes you'll find special bargains and off-season rates, so you need to check out the websites of the airline to go there. Some of these websites that we have, and you'll find out when to go. In fact, on page 29, talks about when to go, and it tells you why the climate is good, because the North Atlantic Current is located, and it gives it a moderate climate there, and mild winters and cool summers. Well, it sounds pretty good there. It tells you when to go, doesn't it, Bill?
Yeah, we see there on page 29, that box is, because of this North Atlantic Current, it gives Iceland some moderate temperatures. Now, the temperatures in this paragraph are all in Fahrenheit.
Right.
So we see the winter time, it's about in the 30s in March, and then climbs up to the 40s in April, and then 60s during the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the summertime, the other thing I really like about the summertime is you got those really long days in the summertime. So it's only dark for 3 or 4 hours in July and August. So you can stay up for 20 hours a day.
Don't go there in the wintertime because it's too dark all the time. You can't see as much, right?
Yeah. That's right. But you get a longer day in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. It's a great place to hike and walk because of all that sunlight and the moderate temperatures, as you said, Doris. It's great. You don't get all
got a lot of good seafood there, too.
Yeah,
right,
that's
by the ocean.
Good, really good fish.
Right. So we're going to find out more about it today. And the cost of living might be high, but probably not any higher than most tourist places are nowadays.
Yeah, you know, when we travel, you're always going to be subject to maybe paying more for different things. So I don't think the cost of going to Iceland is going to be any more than anywhere else that you would go. In fact, if you go at the right time of the year, you can get some real bargains.
And you'll find some cultural quirks or cultural differences. A quirk means something that's a little bit unusual or a little odd, but I think that's not unusual for the people who live there. So let's just say cultural differences. And look for the cultural differences and enjoy them when you go to other countries and realize that we have a lot of things that are the same, but we also have things that are different.
Exactly. Experiment a bit, Doris. And maybe you don't eat that in your country, but you're only going to be there a few days. Try it there because you might be surprised how much you like it.
Well, you be careful when you're in Asia. You'll be eating some strange things, though, if you're not. They have a lot of cultural quirks as far as food goes. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, here you do. One of the cultural quirks I can think of in not only Iceland but also Europe, many of our Asians that travel there will see, the shops close really early.
That's
true. They close at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, opposed to Asian cities that stay open literally 24 hours a day. So that's one of the quirks. They pretty much roll up the sidewalks in Europe at 5 o'clock.
Well, a lot of countries do that. They did that more down in Australia than we did in other countries. Some other countries do that, too.
That's right. Yeah, we have in New Zealand, although in the recent years we've opened a little later.
I think because so many Chinese went there. They started opening up late at night, and people got used to it a little bit.
That's right.
Do you think so?
Yeah, we like it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm waiting for the night market to move down there.
That's
as
right.
Well.
Yeah, right. And the Jinju Naicha and all those kind of cultural quirks that are good.
Are there any cultural quirks in Seattle?
We're not going to go into that now, Bill, because we got to get back to Iceland, Bill. Okay, let's concentrate.
You're hiding something. Come on.
We have to get back to Iceland right now. We're going to chill out in Iceland now. And where are we going to start today, Lois?
Okay, today we're doing our three-day stopover. Well, they've had this three-day stopover, but they're going to have a tour today. So I'm looking forward to this. We're going to have what they call the Golden Circle Tour.
So let's do the reading then on page 30, and we're going to do the first column now.
Our three-day stopover didn't allow for enough time to rent a car and drive around the island, so for a nutshell sense of Iceland's geography, we signed up for a day-long Golden Circle tour. Ducking in and out of a van for warmth, we joined a group of 15 others in exploring a field of steaming geysers and the half-frozen Gullfoss waterfall about an hour's drive from Reykjavik. In Thingvellir National Park, where Iceland settlers formed the world's first parliament in 930 AD, we hiked on both sides of a rift where the earth split as the plates pulled apart. With banking kaput and fishing on the wane, energy and water could be the saving grace for the economy, said our guide, David Wellsbury, of Iceland Horizon Tours. In the meantime, Iceland is counting on tourism to ease its 7% unemployment rate.
Well, you remember when we started this article, we talked about you could stop over there. You don't have to just say, I'm going to take a trip to Iceland. You can go there on your way to Europe if you're on a business trip or something. Try to leave a couple days earlier. So now they're talking about these people who had a three-day stopover. So their destination wasn't just there. It was on a stopover.
Yeah, and that actually was part of a promotional airfare that Iceland Air had offered from Seattle to Paris. $650 US. And, of course, Iceland Air is going to stop in their hub, their headquarters, Reykjavik, along the way. And by doing that, then, you can have a stopover. This writer had 3 days along the way. So what a great trip. Seattle, 3 days in Reykjavik, go on to Paris.
That sounds good to you, doesn't it?
Oh, I can just tell that Bill's a little jealous of this woman
now.
But I tell you that she didn't have enough time, though, to drive around the island. And I think that's true when you go to other places. You have to see the main places the first time you go there. Maybe you go there the next time and do something different.
That's right. I think in many places, also because it can be spread out, you know, you need a longer period of time. But here we see that they were able to do something else instead.
Right. So for a nutshell sense, and when we say in a nutshell, it's a nice little idiom we use quite often.
Yeah, a synonym would be, you know, summary, you know, to keep it short. Give me a brief wrap-up. That also would be another synonym of this.
Right. The sense of Iceland's geography, they signed up for a day-long Golden Circle tour. Well, that sounds good.
It sure does. And I think you would have got a lot accomplished. And you don't have the worry of being your own driver like you do when you rent a car.
That's
so
true.
You know, this takes a little bit of that pressure off you. Plus, you really get to be the tourist or the traveler now. You really get to see the scenery and what you're visiting.
So let's talk about this Golden Circle tour a little bit, Amanda. What was it like?
Well, they traveled around by van. We see that they were ducking in and out of this van for warmth, so maybe still not so warm. So when we duck in and out of something, we're doing that briefly and quickly. And they were joined in a group of 15 other people, so it must have been a pretty big van.
Well, a group of 15 others in exploring this field of steaming geysers. Now, I think there's a place down in New Zealand where you have this hot spot, too. And I think I've been on a tour there, and a lot of people get together, and then you can watch the steaming geyser. You know where that place is in New Zealand.
Yes, I think you're talking about Rotorua.
Right.
Yeah, they have a lot of geysers also that sulfur smell. But it is an amazing experience. Also, you can have food cooked, you know, by these geysers. So there's all kinds of activities you can do there.
There's only a few places in the world you can do that. I know in... Of course, in the United States, we have the very famous ones, don't we, in Montana?
Yeah, they would be out there in Yellowstone, and, you know, the water would be shooting up. And in fact, actually, Doris, this past week, and I went by a steaming geyser up on Yamingshan.
Well, I don't think it compares to this one, though, Bill.
Yeah.
Might be, you
It's smelly, though.
It is very sulfurous.
Yes,
yeah.
It's very smelly. But, and we have them in Canada as well. And when I go hiking, boy, I've smelt them in interior British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you could go and see those. And you could explore this. I mean, a whole lot of them just coming up out of the ground, the earth, people taking pictures and all. What else could they do there?
They can also experience the beautiful half-frozen Gullfoss waterfall. And that's about an hour's drive from the capital city.
So they could get around and see some of the things, the geothermal types of things there.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're seeing actually two extremes, two opposites, steaming geysers and a half-frozen waterfall. So you get such a variety, and it's all within this short drive along this Golden Circle tour around an area that's near the capital of Reykjavik.
Okay, and then you can also go to their national park.
That's right. In Þingvellir National Park, where Iceland settlers formed the world's first parliament. And that's way back in 930 AD. So that's a long time ago. That's much longer than we think this country
that's
has
true.
Been inhabited. And I was also going to say, Doris, there is also in Europe's largest national park. So people could also visit that.
But it tells you they had the world's first parliament. You would never think about it. You'd think it might be in London or Germany or France, but not up there.
I'm surprised in 930 AD that they actually had a parliament.
The first millennium of the world. It's incredible.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then they hiked on both sides of this rift. Tell us what that's like. That's kind of scary in a way.
Well, we talked yesterday about these tectonic plates, which are the plates that the Earth's surface is made up. They shift and they move, and there's actually a place right there where two plates, actually the Earth split apart as the plates pulled apart. So it's a remarkable geological site to actually be in the place where two plates are separating.
Well, you don't want to be there if they start moving. One on the other.
things you might be out of your control by then.
It's a little dangerous.
Might be a little too late.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there are some interesting things to see. And then in this next paragraph, they talk about when the banking kaput and the fishing on the wane. That's interesting that they would write it like that, because this word kaput is actually a German word. And I don't know why they throw in a German word here, but we think we know what it means. But it's very German.
Yeah, it is actually funny. That means something that is severely damaged, broken, not working correctly. I often think of maybe like appliances, like a television or a refrigerator. You might say, oh, my TV's kaput. I got to go. Yeah. I got to go buy a new
one. We don't say that
You
much.
Know my parents still say that word.
Yeah.
So I grew up hearing it.
It's an old-fashioned word.
It's very old-fashioned word, yeah. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably some of our parents came from Germany. That's why they said it.
It's a European. It's an old
it's
European
It's a very European
term.
Word.
Yeah.
Right.
Something doesn't work. It's
do they
kaput.
Say that word down in New Zealand?
We do, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because we have Italian words, Chinese words, German words.
Definitely
in the
French
language.
Words.
Oh,
lots of them. Yeah.
The French words are the worst ones pronounced. But anyway, when the banking thing went out of order or went bad or blew up or whatever you want to say, and the fishing was on the wane. That's another interesting way. Why didn't you just say when the fishing was not good?
Yeah, or when the fishing was disappearing, right?
It's getting just less or something, not so good.
Missing. One of the problems in why the fishing is on the wane, Doris, is because due to overfishing of our oceans, many of the species, particularly those indigenous to the Icelandic area, the numbers have declined greatly. So their fishing industry has really declined because of the fishing population dropping.
So this person that wrote this could have said, when the banking went bad and the fishing went bad, at least the one thing that helped us, and we could call this our saving grace, and grace is something like undeserved favor, something unusual, the saving thing, even though these things weren't good, we still had the energy and the water that we could get from our geothermal thing. So in other words, these other things went bad, but we still had that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what they're trying to say, right?
That's right.
Well, they're so progressive with their geothermal power plants, actually, they can actually produce more power than the country needs, and there is actually a way of taking excess electricity and transferring that to other countries. So you can actually transfer excess electricity to other countries in Europe, And that actually would bring revenue to the country.
Yeah.
I'm sure some people have thought of that and they're working on that.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I learned all about this when I was a kid in school. So I hope eventually someday in my lifetime I will see that this is happening.
That's right. So even though the fishing wasn't so good and the money wasn't so good, they still had their energy that was something that was a saving grace. It helped them get through the problems, didn't it?
Right, and I think they're hoping that it could be even more of a saving grace in the future. But we see in the meantime, while they're waiting for those things to develop, Iceland is counting on its tourism to ease its 7% unemployment rate.
You know, maybe they should thank us for doing this article because we might help increase that tourism rate, right?
That's
We're not getting anything from this bill.
No. Well, you know, and it's something I can see how tourism could help them because – You know, it's such an intriguing place.
Right.
The people I know who have visited this place, Doris, who have visited Iceland, have told me they would return. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. a good sell right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So even if you stop a short time, I think this whole section is saying there are things that you can see. You can take a day tour someplace. You can go different places. Don't think you won't have time to do anything. And I think that's true with every place you go. There are local things you can see. And you can look ahead, check the websites, and see what you want to do when you're there. And so it's kind of saying there is something to do, even if you don't have much time there.
Right.
But let's go on to the next part and see some of the other affordable activities. Let's read that one.
Affordable activities. The coveted Icelandic wool sweaters sell for hundreds of dollars, so we made souvenirs out of bags of marzipan-filled licorice sold at a weekend flea market on the waterfront. More affordable were Reykjavik's museums, most either free or cheap, art galleries, and excellent restaurants. As a light snow fell one afternoon, we walked to Sigrifin, on the harbor where former ship cook Kjartan Haldorsson, 71, serves whale kebabs and mugs of sea cucumber or lobster soup to customers at communal tables. For those not into all-night partying, there's the opera, Rigoletto with Icelandic subtitles, and cafes such as Babalu, an upstairs hideaway decorated with knickknacks and comfy sofas. Order a hot chocolate. Bring your knitting. Listen to Judy Garland singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Maybe, as Eric Weiner concludes in his book, The Geography of Bliss, colder is happier.
We're thinking about things that you can't afford to do, but I don't know about this buying sweaters because you've got to take money for that. But I think women always like to shop, don't you? I'd like to get a nice sweater from Iceland if I went there, wouldn't you?
I would buy one souvenir, and it would be a sweater, Doris.
Right. But you know, these coveted, I mean, people love them. They have beautiful, beautiful sweaters, and they have them in a lot of places in the world. But these Icelandic wool, they have a lot of sheep there. They sell for hundreds of dollars, but still, I think you can buy them cheaper, too. I'm sure they have outlet malls there.
Well, they probably do have outlet malls. And again, maybe I want to check with the locals to find out,
Right. Okay,
where should I go? Don't go to the tourist shops, but ask the locals, hey,
right.
Where can I buy one of these sweaters?
So,
but that something that is coveted means that it is valued and desired, even envied, maybe.
Well, that's true. Norway and Sweden, too, they have those skiing sweaters and usually caps and that go with them and things. People usually buy some of those when they're there. They're beautiful, aren't
they're
they?
They're beautiful. And you know what we're going to find here, readers, is you will have no difficulty communicating to these people in English at all. So you can ask them questions like that. Where should I go shop?
So people who have advanced English are not going to worry about that.
Not at all.
But where else it says can you can do besides the sweaters? What else can you do?
Well, if you don't have hundreds of dollars in your wallet and you need to find something a little bit more affordable, maybe you can get a souvenir out of the bags of marzipan-filled licorice that they sell at the weekend flea market on the waterfront.
Oh, that's interesting that they like licorice. Although I think, like people in Britain and those countries, they like quite a bit of licorice too, don't they?
Well, and you know what I've noticed, Doris, from this part of the world, the Scandinavian people really like their marzipan. So it's a combination here. And obviously they like the taste of both.
Now, what's marzipan like, in case people don't know? Can you explain it at all?
You know what? It almost feels a little bit like
caramely kind of
an icing, a really thickened icing. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like if you had licorice, you could hold out the licorice and stuff the marzipan in.
It's kind of like a creamed caramel or something inside.
Right. Yeah, and you can decorate with it, and you can make little items for Christmas with it. It's kind of cute.
Right. It's sweet, though.
Oh, yeah, it's sweet.
It's fattening. What'd you say, Bill, about our regular?
I'm sorry. I was just saying
we're still eating the marzipan.
You guys are eating your licorice there. I'm moving on to the museums with our writer.
All right.
This is an activity there that is, it's interesting. Free or very cheap galleries that are available for people. So there are some ways of saving money.
Excellent restaurants.
Yep. And some great restaurants.
So you don't have to eat Chinese food every day, right? But as the light snow fell one afternoon, where did they go?
They went to the harbor. Now, the name of the harbor, Sagriffin. It's a harbor where former ship cook, and another great name that I may need help pronouncing.
I think the K is silent. I think it would be Jartan. I think the first name would be.
Okay. Well, he was 71 years of age,
Alderson.
And he serves whale kebabs.
Okay, so they do love to eat whale. Now, when people go whaling, sometimes they do it just for a sport, and that's why they have to stop a lot of that. But the people in these northern countries, they use the whales for different things. They use the fat for things, and they eat the meat. And just like, you would have fish little steaks or kebabs or lamb or sheep, well, they have theirs out of whale. And I don't think most of us are used to eating whales, but they do have that. And they also have mugs of sea cucumber, which just sounds kind of Chinese to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds great. They have sea cucumber there. Mm-hmm. Or lobster soup.
That's right. What I'm running
sounds
to. That,
yeah,
that lobster soup,
lobster
I'm running
soup.
There.
Okay.
Yeah. And now we see customers at communal tables. Now this is going to be a large table where maybe 10, 15, 20 people sit down, almost like a bench-like thing.
That's down on the harbor, and that kind of sounds like fun to me.
It sure does.
That reminds me of a lot of places have these fishermen's wharfs and things. You sit down there and eat these local things. You got to try some of that.
Right, and you'll be with the locals. Maybe you hear them chatting, and there's just a cozy feeling with that, I think.
You go back and say, hey, you know what I just had? I just had a whale kebab. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Did you ever have whale?
Yeah, I had whale in the Faroe Islands. Yeah.
And how was it?
Yeah.
Not too good, but...
I've definitely had the lobster soup a few places.
I'll take the lobster soup myself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But for those people who are not into this all-night partying and stuff, just going out to do that kind of stuff, there are things that you can do. What can you do, Bill?
Well, what we see here is, if you like music, there's the opera that is available. And she gives one example, Rigoletto, that they have available with Icelandic subtitles. So you can go see an opera.
How do they do that? That's interesting.
Right. Well, and they have different kinds of restaurants, cafe. What are those like?
Well, we have Babalu, which is an upstairs hideaway decorated with knickknacks and comfy sofas.
Oh, I don't think I should go there. I like to collect knickknacks, Doris.
Oh, you better.
I better stay
keep
warm,
your traveler's checks
especially
safe,
if they're selling them.
But, Bill, it might be nice to order a nice hot chocolate after all that whale barbecue and so forth. And bring your knitting. What about that? In other words, spend time relaxing. You don't just have to be on the go. We don't knit too much anymore, but the idea of knitting is to take a little leisurely time. And you can listen to people like Judy Garland singing these old songs like Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Way Up High, There's a Land That I Dreamed Of, in my lullaby.
Yeah, our writer is describing the atmosphere there at this cafe and finishes by talking about the book that we had mentioned about why it's such a happy place. And we're going to find out in our feature today, once again, why Iceland is such a happy place.
Keith, are you still reflecting on our wonderful trip to Iceland?
I guess I am, Elaine.
I just can't get that place out of my mind. I never thought that would be my experience.
Yes, you really seem to hit it off with the local folks there, not to mention other people visiting the spots we enjoyed.
Elaine, it is a different place, and of course they have their cultural quirks. I certainly learned a few things that I didn't know about.
Really? Like what?
Well, I didn't know that Iceland sits atop the boundary of the North American and Eurasian tectonic plates. So, that would make it a literal hotbed of volcanic and geothermal activity.
Keith, that explains a lot about what activities were available to us in the cold weather. Now I'm really glad we went that time of year.
Elaine, I just wish we had more time. A tour in a nutshell, well, just doesn't cut it there. I think we'll have to go back in the summer months in a year or two.
I would certainly be into that. It would be interesting to compare winter months and summer months in Iceland. I am sure we haven't done anything quite close to that experience. Or should I say, experiment.
Yes, it will be interesting, but I would like to just find out more about this sparsely populated nation, both their ancient history and their most recent history, not to mention experience the true warmth of a summer season.
Keith, are you referring to when their banks basically went kaput?
Well, that and their resilience was their saving grace to bring them through such a horrific financial crisis.
Keith, well, you know me. I want to go back to shop. This time I am not just going to covet one of those Icelandic wool sweaters. I'm going to purchase one. Oh, and watch out, knick-knack stores. Here I come.
Oh my, is Iceland ready for you? Perhaps once was enough.
Well, it's been great studying this country together, and I think we've all been talked into stopping over there sometime if we can.
Hey, Doris, before we sign off, I want to explain one thing over in the left column there on page 30. Energy and water could be the saving grace for the economy. That's in lines 14 and 15. And we talked about geothermal power plants yesterday. They can produce excess electricity, which Iceland can export, and that will help their economy. But this other part of this sentence from today of water also being part of the saving grace for the economy, Iceland has a large supply of fresh drinking water because of all of their glaciers. And actually, because of global warming, they actually could be able to provide a large supply of drinking water. So that's what that sentence is talking about.
All right, and thanks for being with us for this lesson. We have interesting things ahead all year, so stick with Advance, check out the websites, and let us know if any of you have ever been there. We can put that on our Facebook. So we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.